Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 208, episode 5 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist,
the production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, October 29th, 2021, our last full episode before Halloween. Oh, or okay. It's weird when Halloween falls so close to some of these days I'm about to tell you. Because it's like, which one are we celebrating, really? Like,
today,
it's
right.
International Stroke Day on October 29th, mm-hmm. National Oatmeal Day, National mm-hmm. Cat Day, which I feel mm-hmm. like happens every week, National Hermit Day. Mm-hmm. I think oatmeal takes the day for me, because it's just such a thing that so many people feel passionately about.
Right. Yeah. Also, the Cat Day thing is, I feel like last week, I think it was National Black Cat Day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But look, it gets very specific.
Yeah. As well it should. But all those oatmeal fans out there can finally let their freak flag fly today,
those,
you know?
Oat heads.
Those oat heads. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka I like sharks, doot, 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 doot. I like sharks, doot, 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 doot. I like sharks, doot, 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 doot. I like sharks. Daddy likes sharks. Doo, 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 doo. No, all right. What if I just kept going? That is courtesy of Pickled Herring at Frog Pickled. Which are you, a pickled frog or a pickled herring? We don't know. That's called suspense. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, man. Joe Biden is claiming an L on this infrastructure bill. But, let me just sing something really quick. They promise everything you want, deliver nothing that you need. It has half the shit inside of it you hope that it could be. Joe sounds almost left wing at exactly the right time, but the party still keeps following because they're scared of the right. Okay, That was something I thought as I walked to get a breakfast something this morning. And I was like, yeah, yeah, because I was looking at that framework and the the fanfare. And it's like, no, you're going to love it, man. It's half of what we, but you, you're going to love it. You're going to love this. You're going to love this.
Sounds like, almost left wing at exactly the right, times. I like that. That was good.
That you somehow made that song sadder.
I know. Yeah. And it, I didn't do the part where it, the voice change and it's like, I am everything you want.
Right.
Oh, I am. Super creepy.
Yeah. That it's funny to think about Joe Biden as like somebody's crush. They're like, oh, if only he's just got it all, you know? I'm sure there are like sad people in Congress who are like, Biden, now there's a talent. There's one of the greats.
Yeah, people were like, oh, that's the GOAT right there.
Well, speaking of GOAT and one of the greats, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented stand-up comedian, writer, actor, improviser, and biomedical engineer.
Yep.
In addition to being one of the funniest comics and writers anywhere doing it, she started a tutoring initiative to provide Black students free individualized online tutoring lessons and is the co-executive director of RespiraWorks. I'm probably butchering that.
No, that was perfect.
Hell yeah.
Boom.
Which is a nonprofit working to design low-cost and open-source medical equipment for communities underserved by the global supply chain. What? She performs across the country and produces and performs at Funnelingus, which is just one of the best shows in L.A. every first Sunday. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Paula Viganale!
Hey, that bio was so thorough. I was like, does he have like where I was born?
Yeah, we can do that too.
It's just dope that
deep dive.
Yeah, that's one of those things that a lot of Zeitgeist guests don't have on their bio. So wanted
I'm
to shout it out.
Transcribe pretty... that to update my website. It's had more stuff on there than I do.
How are you? What's going
on? I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm good. I'm in Boston right now. It's the first time I'm doing comedy in Boston, so I'm excited. And yeah, I'm just like, I'm happy, guys. Isn't that crazy?
Oh!
Isn't that crazy?
Love to hear that. Love
that Lexapro is hitting.
Hey. Let them know.
How's that Boston weather hitting? Is it cold? Is it?
It's like it was a little bit like rainy, but it wasn't too bad. It's like nice and refreshing. I'm like, I'm out here. I'm just like, leaves. I love fall.
Right.
I'm like turning into Christian girl autumn or whatever.
You like put some in a Ziploc bag. You're like, I'm just going to love to look at these when I get home.
It's just a lot of like deep breaths in. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just looking out the window with my tea. I'm just like.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dang Lexapro commercial right there. The leaves,
right?
The
with my Lexapro, I'm like a Christian white woman. I used to be so cynical.
And now I think the world is made for me.
Yeah. It's like in a pile of autumn leaves. Like, yeah. In slow motion.
It turns into a period commercial somehow in the middle of it. Like, better check all these
just
boxes.
Just stay with the leaves for too long. And it's like, wait, why is she really just like sitting in those leaves? Just
vibing.
She okay? All right. Paula V, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell the listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. The Build Back Better bill, which Miles has given the AKA Bunk Booty Butter, which, you know, alliteration wins no matter
always.
What.
We know that.
That sounds like an organic, like, health butter for your skin or something.
Yeah, like butt lotion or something. Yeah,
like something Gwyneth Paltrow has definitely tried to copyright.
Bunk's Booty Butter, yeah.
Trademark.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to talk about Tucker Carlson's upcoming documentary, in quotes, in which he will be suggesting that January 6th was a false flag, which we'll talk about how that's possible. And then we got a couple Halloween stories. We're going to talk about why skeletons are having a moan right now, in particular, that 12-foot-tall skeleton.
Yeah.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Paula V, would like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, this is going to make me... I couldn't think of anything, but I did write down, I looked up Fannie Lou Hamer because I'm just like dumb and I heard a reference to her and I was like, I don't know anything about her. So that's like the latest thing that I Googled. So that's like an honest one, but it's also like, I'm trying not to be like, oh, I'm so great. I looked up Fannie Lou Hamer as my search history.
Got
I'm too neurotic about this. Maybe that Lexapro isn't hitting enough. You know what I mean?
Wait, where did you hear a reference that you were like, hold on, what, you know, what piqued your interest?
I don't even remember. I just wrote it down to look it up because I heard something about Fannie Lou Hamer and I was like, I don't know shit about her. It might have been like a podcast or a book or something. I'm not sure.
Right.
But that's a favorite move of mine is when somebody references something that I don't know, I take out my phone and type it down into notes.
Yeah.
But it also seems like I'm doing something important. So when I disassociate with the conversation at that moment, rather than embarrass myself by being like, what's that? What'd you just say?
It's also like, I don't always get to all my notes. So it'll just be like weird references from 3 years ago in my notes that I never actually looked at.
I really wish my notes app was better organized. It is. It's a fucking mess.
I think part of the reason that people use it so much is because it's not organizable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's part of everybody's like, I'll find a way to like make it work for me, but because there's no pressure, that's why everybody, you can use it for apologies. You can use it for Fannie Lou Hamer references.
Yeah.
you can lose it for numbers. You're going to lose, you know?
Yeah. I have when I look through it, it's like the equivalent of like what I suspect the inside of like a conspiracy theorist's car looks like. Just a bunch of loose shreds, like with weird shit written on it. Cause like
every note is a red flag. And especially for keep comedians. Them all. Like I have just a note that says Catholic and camp on it. I don't know. That's got to be a stand up thing. I don't know what that is.
Catholic and camp.
Yeah, that's got to. Yeah, I don't know.
I have one that says food coma. Long shot of a guy hooking up food at a taco stand. I think I was thinking of like a mockumentary maybe about people who go into food comas.
Do you think this is how Jordan Peele wrote Get Out? He's like tea stirring.
Right. What if it says Uber driver who plays his own music for his passengers, June 12th, 2013.
Wow.
I have one that are, do you think wolves are ever like, ugh, you act as though you've been raised by people?
I mean, that's just a good joke.
I think that was meant to be a tweet.
Yeah, hold on. Whoa.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
I don't remember writing that.
I just have one that says UBI-good dollar. And that's it.
This is what you guys should do instead of search history.
Yeah.
You should do notes.
Go in your notes right now. Go scroll back to one of the earliest ones you've got because those are the ones that takes a lot. I mean, like mine are in 2013. Another one, fried corn, 170 degrees Celsius for 2 minutes.
Okay, that's just a recipe.
Yeah.
I learned
like
that,
the recipe without the intro. You know what I mean?
Right,
the intro is in another note.
Right.
It's the history of your family or something. And then this is just the recipe.
Dude, this is... Whoa!
Uh-oh.
I have this email address of this woman whose picture I took at Coachella in 2014, and I got her email so I could email her the photo when I got a better signal.
Send it to her.
Did you send it?
I'm sure I did. I'll have to look at my same emails.
That is a thoughtful Coachella reveler right there.
I would have
never thought about that again. What is something you think is overrated?
I am tired of staying out. I'm at the age now where I'm just I finish my task and I'm like, I can't wait to go home.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think it's like a post-pandemic thing because during the pandemic, I was so immobile that like I was partially afraid I was going to get bed sores. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now I'm like out there and I'm doing my shows and I had to build up stamina to do stand up. And then as soon as they're done, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go home. Like, yesterday, my friends wanted to hang out, and it was wonderful seeing them. But the entire time, I was like, I just want to be in bed, not necessarily sleeping, but there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this part of my aging.
Yeah.
Yeah, when your bed is like a charging mat for your cell phone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, it's fine. You know, I'm not like totally on empty, but it's always good to get a charge in by laying in my bed or sitting in my bed.
I love it. I get so excited to like thinking about just coming home and not even sleeping, just coming home.
Yeah, that's good. But I mean, you know, there's something about at least you're comfortable there. There are times when I remember the last place I wanted to be was my own home.
That's true.
And so that's like funny when the pendulum swings the other way.
we've sated our inner children.
Yeah, exactly.
We've created a safe space enough for them. Yeah.
I actually had children in order to give myself an excuse to leave parties. That was like my main reason. I was like, I gotta get see the kids before they go to bed.
I feel like, Jack, you don't have kids. You're like,
right. But imagine if I did.
All right, I'm gonna go anyway.
I gotta go make them. Right. I gotta go make children.
Gotta
right
go
now
make some babies. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, this is again another old person. This is me aged now. I love houseplants.
Love to see it.
Yeah,
I'm a houseplant bitch. I got in June. Which was like way too far into the pandemic to be into houseplants. Everybody mm-hmm got into houseplants like in middle of 2020, and I got into it like once the pandemic was ending.
Right.
Or like people were going outside again. But I love plants. I'm just like, I'm watering them. I'm repotting them. I got like the moss poles and shit. It's amazing.
What?
There's a moss pole. So I got a big monstera, right?
Yeah.
Sprouting all these leaves and shit, and it keeps falling over because it's so big. So you tie it around a pole that's like a moss.
Then
you wrap it up and it stays upright more.
I have a similar problem with an indoor bird of paradise in my house. It's getting too top heavy, wobbly.
Yeah. Mm. You got to help them. And they're just, I walk my dog and I'm judging other people's plants. I'm like, you got to water this bitch. Yeah. I used to kill plants all the time and I'm not necessarily like good at it. I just am very, now I can put my judgment into plant care.
Right. Pretty healthy, you know?
That's how you pick up skill. If you are bad at picking up skills, but you want to, just know you get to judge people more the more skills you pick up.
Yes.
You're
espying them through their window or what?
No, there's like they put them out front in front of the apartment building next to me. They put their plants out front and there was just a monstera that was dying. And like I was just like, just water it. And there was a guy who was like down the apartment building. He was like washing the ground or whatever, and I was like, go water that plant, it's dying. And he's like, no, that's not what I do. And I was like, I'm going to steal this plant. Like,
and now you have a monster.
No. Yeah. No, right. It's too big for me to carry, but I really do want to steal plants from my neighbors. It's a problem.
I'm power washing grease stains off of this driveway. This will destroy the plant if I use this.
I don't have time to emergency make life. I'm like, it needs water.
You like call 911 and report a fire so the fire department shows up with hoses.
I really
and you're
am
like, that,
turning
that
into a Christian white girl. If I
I'm sorry, but this monstera plant is like dying.
How can it be Christian girl autumn without leaves?
This isn't the kind of brown leaves I wanted. But yeah, monsteras, man, they're beautiful though when you take care of them and like,
they're
you know,
because so nice.
The shape, you know, every this thing's probably like the most. What Instagrammed plant probably?
It's like, also I feel like just like super rewarding because it's like one of the easiest ones. You just like keep pouring water into it.
Just funny. It's always funny to go anywhere like in a tropical climate where you know a lot of like people like tropical plants out here, and you just see them blowing out with life like on the sidewalk, and you're like, ah. That's always an experience. And that's how I know I'm getting old because I started to say stuff like, "Yo, look at that monstera."
Yeah,
I know. No, I do that shit all the time.
Yo, let's steal that leaf.
I'm like, oh, fucking snake plants are thriving over here.
Yeah. Oh, I want to propagate that.
Yeah.
Monstera deliciosa, which is apparently the official name for monsteras. It, like, delicious monster is a very cool and horny name for a plant.
Yeah.
I kind
of
love it.
It reminds me of Little Shop of Horrors because that's what I feel like that plant should have been called.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
There ever was a delicious monster.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
It's
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer founded and queer run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3XS to 6XL. Use code iHeart at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
And we're back. We didn't get a chance to. I realized at the start we were talking before we started recording. We were talking about bad Will Smith lyrics, and we didn't get to it. But
ill way to hammy. I didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah,
ill way to and me.
Is that what he's saying?
I always thought it was ill way to hammy, and I don't know what the fuck you're saying, because you just said the Cuba cigar was just for the look. You bite it, don't light it. But I guess, again, it was him doing, what do you call that, pig Latin?
It was pig Latin. Ilway the anime on the ants day or flay. Or flay.
So will the man on the
give it up, floor. Jiggy. Make it feel like foreplay.
Feel like foreplay.
Feels like foreplay.
I also like the part where he brags about having a cigar, but he doesn't light it.
Because it's just
for the look, but he has that anti-smoking message in there.
Yeah. And then the next line is, yo, my cardio is infinite. Ha ha. Big Willie Styles all in.
That sucks so hard.
No, I love this dad rap. It's my favorite.
But that part where he says, you know, that he doesn't light the cigar, and then the part in Getting Jiggy With It where he says, like, he played ball with Shaq and them and flattened them, and then is like, psych. Nah, no, I actually didn't do that. Like, immediately after, for whatever reason, like, those are always on rotation in my brain.
This feels like a Lonely Island song where they're like, right. I'm bragging. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Psych. Didn't. Thought no, I took I a spill. Yeah. For whatever reason, that Getting Jiggy With It in particular, I was saying every time, what one of the settings that we do on people's quick time before we start recording is have them change the thing to maximum. And that just immediately, if people ever want to know what it's like inside my head, that has then sets the part where he says cream to the maximum. I'd be asking him like, oh, that's just echoing through my head for the entire time that we record.
What does cream to the maximum mean? Because I don't think it's what we would assume it means now.
Yeah,
the theme is money. No, absolutely. Money is long.
Yeah, it's money.
Okay.
His money I like is how long.
He was like, Yeah, since I moved up like George and Wheezy. That's a cute reference.
Right.
So they had them on Fresh Prince. That was sweet.
Right. Anyways, one of the greats to ever do it.
I mean, that's what people, that's always debated, right? Of Will Smith's place in the rap pantheon, because he like mainstreamed this like very like Saturday morning rap kind of vibe.
Yeah. It was the first rap tape I ever got was like in second grade, the Nightmare on My Street.
I definitely had, I had this album for sure, and I was like playing it nonstop. It was my favorite. I memorized all of Miami.
Big Willie style. Yeah, I mean, seminal. 1997, big year for us.
Yeah.
And he's the winner of the first rap Grammy, I believe. So, you know, that officially makes him the greatest and most influential rapper of all time, if we're going by the record book.
You know, I mean, what? Every time someone has this argument, I'm just going to bring up Will Smith from now on. Every time somebody's like, Biggie, Pac, Kendrick, I'm going to be like, nobody's talking about getting jiggy with it.
Thank you. All right. But let's talk about the Build Back Better bill.
real quick.
Hey, you know, we got
transformational rappers, transformational bills.
Thank you.
You know,
or not.
Transformational wills, transformational bills. There we go.
Yes.
And we're back.
Transformational in the sense that it transforms from something that people actually wanted to now a really half-assed, sad sack, watered-down husk.
Husk.
This is so frustrating. I'm so mad.
I mean, so, you know, Biden is in a spot. He had an agenda. It's now just turning into this half thing. And now he's asking progressives to fucking trust him. OK, he came out today saying that, look, I've got a 1.75 trilly, big trilly style. OK, framework for a reconciliation bill for the human
silly
interest.
Bill.
Reconciliation bill. Reconciliation bill, okay, to address the human infrastructure part of his agenda. And I'll say this, there are things in it that have never been addressed before, but that doesn't necessarily, like, if we're just going to compare it to what we've been doing, which is nothing, then anything is transformational. But here are the things that are still in the bill on some level. Universal pre-K for kids 3 and 4 years old, and that's funded for at least 6 years. Subsidized child care, that is going to be funded for about 6 years. A 1 year extension of the current child tax credit.
Wow.
Which is like one of the most popular things. Just one more year. We'll fund it one more year. Yeah. Expanded tax credits for, you know, like clean energy for residential and like new clean energy vehicles. They're doing some like extended ACA stuff and Medicare to cover the cost of hearing. Now, if you look at the price tag, you're like 1.75. Well, that's half of what people were coming out with, which was 3.5. And a lot of people point at like the climate spending. Yes. Like, while it's the most that's ever been ever spent, to think of how dire the situation is, you're like, this doesn't look like dire money we're spending. It looks like we're just doing like, here's about 50 billion at a time. And maybe we'll see where we go from there. When really we know, like, we really need significant improvements, especially to the transmission grid, in order to bring a lot of clean energy online. So the things that are huge things that are missing are the lack of paid family leave, which, you know, would have been transformational since the United States is the only industrialized nation to not offer that. No expanded Medicare, no tuition free community college, and they won't be renegotiating any kind of prescription drug costs. So the prescription drug costs will remain the same. So, yeah, we're finding ourselves, I think, in a familiar place where progressives were trying to do a lot, got to a certain point, and then just the priorities aren't as important because important moderates.
Yeah, there's a logic I'd accepted in, like, as I was just kind of working my brain around this ongoing story that, like, well, yeah, of course, the Republicans aren't going to let something this good through because people would be too happy with it and it would be under a Democratic president, and that's bad for them in the long run. But that it just, like, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge how completely fucked our system is if that's sort of the logic of it, is that we can't let the other people help people too much or else.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's bad for us.
And for all the attention that's being paid to progressives, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, they're like, well, you know, they're not going to get everything they want. So this is going to have to be good enough. Like, that's a lot of like the mainstream takes that you'll see on the news about like what's happening, because Pramila Jayapal, who's the head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, she's saying like, yeah, we agree to this framework, like in principle. We don't even know what the actual legislative text is of this. You're just saying this is like their money's in these buckets, but we don't know how that's going to work yet. So we can't say we're going to fully be on board and let you pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill and then let this thing just blow away in the wind. They still want to pass them together like that was the original agreement. But yeah, it seems like another moment again, like progressives think they're doing good faith business with the rest of the party. And then because of people like Manchin and Sinema, they're allowing two people to essentially be like, nah, we don't want to raise taxes like that. Or nah, I'm not really here for paid family leave. That doesn't feel like it's necessary.
Insane. Also, didn't they try to drop it to like 4 weeks? And it's like most like infants can't be taken care of at daycare at that age. Right. No. Like.
Yeah, no, they won't.
See, that's the
let
thing.
You bring a 4 week old to fucking daycare. Like, that's, I mean, there.
What?
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Like, an absurdity. Like, that you could just, like, pass them on.
Kirsten might be on too much wine right now, if you know what I'm saying.
This is, well, it's just, I mean, so they're trying on some level, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's really that, it's clearly not that important, because especially when you hear a lot of the concerns, especially from, like, activists and progressive leaders being like, this is falling short. Hello. Like, if it's going to be transformational, it's because we're going to, like, you know, take a real good faith effort at correcting something, not just saying like, well, we never spent this much money before on that. That doesn't mean, you know, it's like having a huge building on fire and you let it burn. And then just because you brought a garden hose out, you're like, well, this is transformational. This is a game changer. You're like, because now it's just a little bit of water. No, like, there's a real problem that has to be addressed. So this is merely a gesture. And now it seems like for the optics win, because that's what's really being hammered into, I think, the airwaves right now, is a lot of these Democrats, like the leadership is being like, this is a huge win. I mean, if you said we'd get this at the beginning of like the administration, you'd be laughing with such happiness in your heart. So we got to really think about how this is a lot of money being spent. And that is true to a certain extent, but don't then try and ignore the fact that there are real needs that still have to be addressed and that this is still somehow addressing it all.
Yeah. It's very frustrating to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like tired of the moderation. Like, I like clearly that has not been working.
Right.
Yeah. No, it does. And I think now they look at things like paid family leave. Like, a lot of these things that are left out are the things that are people in, like, are popular in swing districts. So a lot of, you know, even if you're looking at like electoral math, you're like, don't you want those people to be able to hang their hat on that when they're trying to, you know, run again for office? But I sure, because Joe Manchin and Sinema didn't want it, it's gone.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about them. I don't know how to, like, how they're expecting to deal with them. With Manchin and Sinema. Manchin, like, clearly he has his motivations because of his coal mining company and all
his
of that.
Coal, his heart made of coal.
Yeah, right. His cold coal heart and his houseboat or whatever. But then Sinema is like the Joker. I don't know what, she doesn't even have as many rules as the Joker does. Like, right. She wants to watch the world burn and we don't know what to give her. Like, I don't know what she's expecting.
I think a lot of people are just now being like,
other than bad fashion.
Holding back, being like, well, I don't know what's going on. I think now I'd be like, okay, so she's been an opportunist the whole time. She's always told people what they needed to hear to get to certain places. Whether it was like, you know, the Sierra Club and like conservationists in Arizona early in her career, like they were saying like, yeah, she was such a huge supporter. And I can't even believe the stuff she's saying now, because she used to do to all these functions with us and we thought she was about that life. Then they had veterans who like left her advisory panel who were like, we thought she was serious about this stuff, and now she doesn't even take our calls. And I think because now she's at a point where she's getting, I'm sure, good packaged donations from lobbyists to do whatever she has to do, and that's just probably a place of more comfort. It has nothing to do with what her, you know, duty is as a senator.
she also is like very famous because of how she's acting. Like the more ridiculous she's being, the more fame she gets, the more she secures like the rest of her career. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I feel like one of the best ways to get Twitter followers is to run for Senate, you know?
Right.
That's instantly. One way to go viral.
Well, and someone said in an article, they're like, if you think she's like unnerved by the fact that like Cecily Strong is like mocking her on SNL, like you're wrong, dude. She's fucking loving it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, very obvious she likes the attention. And have you seen those clips of her? Like, I think she was at the airport or she was at somewhere else where people were just trying to like talk to her. And they're like, you haven't spoken to us in forever. And she's like, I'm so sorry to like her, the people she's talking to. It's like she has no... It feels like she has no accountability or no sense of obligation to her constituents at all.
Yeah, and I think it and I think the other thing that is happening too is those two are providing a lot of cover for a lot of corporate moderate Dems
who
are also not really into this either. But because the two of them are such big, high profile things, it takes a lot of heat off the party at large to say like, this is most of y'all. Let's be real. It's not just them.
Yeah. There's a sense of, you know, in the clip, Pallavi, that you just mentioned of like the adults are talking here and, you know, the adult thing is to accept that this is a negotiation. And I feel like that's also the kind of central underpinning belief of the mainstream media is that, well, we can't have good things. So you like instead it's going to be this painful sort of shit sandwich that we all have to swallow because that's just how politics works. And it's like, well, that's kind of because of y'all.
Yeah. There was like a really good tweet that I saw yesterday that I wish I could find it, but it was like, we want this. No. Okay. We want half of it. No. Okay. We want this less of it. No. And then it's like, this is what a negotiation is. That's what a negotiation right. is just not getting anything you want. That's what a negotiation means. Like,
right. All right. Well, I do want to move on to talking about Will Smith lyrics again. to talk about this Tucker Carlson documentary that's coming our way the beginning of next week. Its central thesis is that January 6th was a false flag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I,
if it was like, a false flag, they'd probably loot it from
right.
the Capitol.
It's like, I'll just kind of go through it's so that people don't have to watch it, but it's got like it says the true story behind 1/6, the war on terror 2.0 and the plot against the people.
Mm-hmm.
They're so bad at titles.
Yeah.
That is such a long title.
It opens with like a militant drum roll and says the domestic war on terror is here. It's coming after half of the country. And Carlson then is heard saying the helicopters have left Afghanistan and now they're landed here at home. And then a woman says false flags have happened in this country, one of which may have been January 6th. And it's... It ends with like the battle hymn of like the Civil War battle hymn. So, I mean, I think they, you know, what they're getting at there.
Yeah, it's I think is Ali Alexander going to be on Tucker Carlson that day, too? Like, I think he's in the documentary, but I think he might also be talking with Carlson. But, you know, he's the dude who, you know, obviously got a lot of attention in the Stop the Steal build up and a lot, you know, he's just a right wing grifter basically, and was just using this to like fundraise and get money. But he was the one who had that tweet that when everyone was like, okay, the tone has changed, when he said like he was willing to give his life,
right,
you know, for to stop the steal or whatever the fuck. And you know, a lot of people point out, it's like, of course you're gonna have this person on because A, by making this a false flag, you can try and negate or introduce some narrative about a false flag. You'll negate anything the committee finds and try and get that out of voters' minds. And also, if you're Ali Alexander, who has a lot of responsibility in organizing it, you'd probably want something out there to be like, well, it wasn't me. It was a false flag. Like, there's just a lot of like this is a very useful thing to start pushing if they're gonna, because they again at every turn have to counteract like what people just saw with their bare eyes.
Yeah. This is them openly courting the QAnon far right, like white supremacist terrorist movement, and basically being like, these are American citizens. It's like, yeah, so is Timothy fucking McVeigh, man. Like, what are you talking about? They also claim that conservatives are being left to rot in Guantanamo Bay, which is a bizarre and made-up claim.
Also, like, and I love the fucking, the mental compartmentalization that has to happen, because for that to have any, to move a conservative person, you have to, on one hand, acknowledge that Guantanamo Bay is just a fucking hellscape for a human being to be in.
Well, that's for brown people. That's not for us. That's not for them. Right.
No, exactly. But that's
American.
You know what I mean?
That's what is the most infuriating aspect of just people on the right with how they are. They weaponize things that are actually being used against other people. It's just so frustrating how they victimize themselves. So it does acknowledge like the tools of oppression, but then they flip it, you know, and it's completely illogical. It's just like, it just bothers me so much that they do that. And that not only, you said like Ali Alexander was a grifter, but it's so many of those people on that side are grifters. Like Tucker Carlson promoting, and everybody at Fox News promoting like anti-vax rhetoric while being vaccinated for the show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's like the evil aspect of it that just bothers me so much, because it's been shown that people don't care about hypocrisy when it comes to like campaigning and all of the, and calling people out and stuff. People just don't care about hypocrisy. It's not something that motivates them. And that's the thing that they capitalize on, because they know that.
Yeah.
And it's just so bothersome.
It's also wild that this is going to be sort of like loose change, a documentary, a counter narrative about an event that happened almost entirely on live TV. Like, we kind of got the gist from the fact that there were cameras there everywhere. And, you know, but I think that initial reaction that, like, how could anyone take this seriously is similar to the initial idea that the internet was going to make people better at finding the truth rather than just better at finding whatever truth they want to find. Because there's an embarrassment of riches in terms of just, you know, there's so much footage taken by all of the people at that, like, who were there on January 6th. And, like, you know, cutting all of that down into a convincing, like, 30-minute package of stuff happening that seems weird or doesn't look quite right will be, like, super possible. Right.
What's really weird, though, is, like, the argument that I found, there were comedians at that insurrection, by the way, there were comedians there, and their arguments that I've seen was like, and which other people have made as well, was but we were like in the peaceful part. And it's like, you being around a drum circle or whatever the fuck you think that is does not negate the fact that people rushed into the Capitol, and then our senators had to hide in bathrooms and shit because they were afraid they were gonna get, like, people were in full gear with zip ties, and you being near, like, playing hacky sack, which I doubt you were, you know, doesn't negate the fact that that actually happened and you were there and a part of it.
And it's a weird thing, too, because it's like, it's this weird cred thing, too, that you'll see with conservatives, where half the time they'll be like, I was there on January, where you weren't even there.
Right.
You don't know what happened. And it's like,
but then be like, I thought it was a false flag. It's like, well, there were some people there that were doing the right thing. And you're like, well, which is it? Are you pumping your dick up because you were there? Or is it all bullshit and none of what you saw is real? Because you're doing all this doublespeak is just, it's grating. And like you're saying, just overall with this whole thing, we're looking at so many levels where America, again, is unwilling to have a reckoning with its, like, white supremacy issue at every level. Like, whether it's this and be like, well, fuck, man, like, we can't just have it be accepted that this was all based on, like, the fear of a less white America. That's, get this out there, that's a false flag. You see it play out in just with the trials that are coming up with the killers of Ahmaud Arbery or fucking Kyle Rittenhouse. Or the fucking other, you know, all the, there's the Charlottesville organizers. Like, we have judges being like, oh, witness is a loaded word for the people Kyle Rittenhouse killed.
Victim
is a loaded word.
Victims and alleged victims is like too close.
But said rioters and looters isn't.
And arsonists
is okay.
Even though
that can be used.
Yeah, by the defense. It's ridiculous.
Then looking at things like in the Charlottesville thing, asking jurors if they think negatively about Nazis. And if they do, they can't serve in the jury.
They're out. Yeah.
Because you're trying to
that
both
is
sides
truly
Nazism.
Insane.
Like, you can't have an object. And all this is saying is we can't live in a reality where objectively white supremacy or racism is actually bad and there's no explaining your way out of it.
But then simultaneously, they won't identify as such. Like, right? They don't like being called that, but then they are able to defend it.
But you need a fair trial where you don't have jurors who think anti-black racism is bad, because then that'll bias them against an anti-black racist.
Somebody murdered somebody over. Yeah. The thing that is super infuriating about the Carlson documentary is it seems like the thing, what one of the thousands of things that's super infuriating about this documentary is that Fox News is the arbiter of, or the representation, the main source of information for the group of people who have generated every panic, like every moral panic over the last 100, 150 years in America. And they are claiming that America is in the midst of a moral panic over white supremacy. So they're taking the thing that they do, like this is, you know, what they've been doing since the beginning of time, but they take the thing they're guilty of and claim that that's what the other side is doing.
Yeah.
You know, so rather than being a deeply white supremacist country, coming to terms with just the very tip of the iceberg of its white supremacy for the first time, they're claiming that it's a moral panic over white supremacy.
Guys, I have to say, with all of this, I am not jiggy with it. So,
you know,
I'm not jiggy with any of this.
I also like the idea that Joe Biden tricked us all by using his boundless energy and razor sharp mind to create a three-dimensional kinetic illusion of white supremacists trying to murder the vice president.
Yeah, wait, he's what? Thanos.
No, well, the idea of a false flag, and like they keep showing Joe Biden in the documentary. It's like, so
he's that smart.
Yeah,
he's mostly, it's mostly dementia, but then he has these moments of lucidity where he plants a false flag.
Yeah. Where he just controls space and time to his whims. All right, let's take another quick break and we'll come back and talk about skeletons and other Halloween-y stuff.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. And let's start out talking about the 12-foot tall Halloween skeletons, the Home Depot, the best thing Home Depot's ever done.
Guys, I feel like this sets unrealistic expectations for skeletons.
Yes. Yes. Like, no skeleton that tall could walk comfortably, just like Barbie.
Also, like, where are my short skeleton kings at? Because shout out to y'all, too. It's not all about being 12 feet. You could be 6 feet as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a 2-foot tall skeleton on my front door because I don't have a connect agenda at Home Depot. Or an agenda about what a skeleton should look like.
Did you get that skeleton from Lowe's, you fucking loser?
Yo, that's just 11'6".
But I just feel like in general, skeletons are having a bit of a moan with, you know, Phoebe Bridgers performing in a skeleton suit.
Yeah, okay. I just needed to take a moam to address the moam thing because I've never heard that before.
Yeah. No, it's just a cool thing that I like to say.
All right. I'm jiggy with it. Okay. I'm jiggy with that. All right, cool. Let's keep going.
You know, party in the city where the heat is moam.
Producer
I'm going to moam.
Mo-mammy. Bienvenido a mo-mammy.
Mo-mommy. Sir Producer Anna Hosnier got me a coffee mug that says, just having a moam with my cough.
And, Anna just messaged, I did not buy that for you. You bought that for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, you bought me the Chuggy one. That's Chuggy. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Big Chuggers.
Yeah. I bought that for myself. That's true. It's true. Look, I'm trying to turn it into a thing.
No, I think Anna got that for me.
Yeah. Thank you, Anna. I really appreciate you buying that for me and, you know, recognizing that. It is a thing, whether other people want to say I'm failing at making it a thing. Anyways, Home Depot, the real villains here, not me, Home Depot. So apparently they've been trying to like create a proprietary like Halloween decoration that was going to like be popular. And their previous attempt was in 2016, they marketed a Peeping Tom decoration.
Oh, my God.
They had to pull from stores because it just looks like a human looking through your window.
It looks like fucking Tony Blair.
It's so creepy. Also, I thought Halloween was supposed to be for like fantastical.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
And not this just is a just thing like that we all have to worry about.
Yeah, stuff that happens in a comedy green room. Like, I don't mean to.
Right. Yeah.
You were saying that, the 12-foot skeleton, there was a long, shitty road for Home Depot to hit the target with being like the 12-foot skeleton. Now we've got a thing only we've got, you're saying. Like,
Tried with the Peeping Tom thing. That's a big swing. Like,
that's not a decoration, that's a prank.
Yeah, it's a prank. Would be something
that's like
if you walk on the sidewalk, you can be like, "What's that like weird thing stuck to the window?" Because I doubt it's like a full torso on its knees that you can like pose.
It's also for a prank for the people inside the home it's decorating and
look,
not
Home Depot
outside.
Is figuring this out very slowly. I also
like that they went from like Peeping Tom 2016 year before Me Too. To let's just make a regular decoration, but bigger.
Really big.
Right.
Like, that is the most American shit.
Right.
To be like,
I mean, they
let's take an idea
we already have,
but make it bigger.
Right. But look at us. It's like the most sought after item now.
Yeah, it's true.
At least they knew that sex predators were going to be a thing. They had their finger on the zeitgeist. They just didn't read it correctly. They didn't do the right thing with it,
right.
I would say, by just pretending to have a sexual predator like hanging out at people's houses. But like I said, Phoebe Bridgers has started rocking a skeleton suit and it's very cool. And so this is the second year of the 12-foot skeleton. They were like sold out immediately. Nobody can find them. The people who did find them are doing pretty cool stuff. Like one guy in Ohio built an even larger skeleton arm bursting out of his house and holding the Home Depot skeleton. And then there's a story of, this sounds like something that would happen to me. A guy thought he snagged a 12-foot skeleton for $40 and, you know, waited a couple months for it. Thanks a lot, Biden, supply chain. Only to later receive a 12-inch skeleton in the mail.
Oh.
Hey.
Just, you got to know between the difference between the apostrophe and
he's
the quote.
He's like trying to convince all the women on his block that it's 12 feet anyways. He's like, no, this is what 12 feet looks like. It's fine. It's average.
Yeah. That's actually average. So some people are wondering why this is such a thing right now beyond just being objectively awesome. And, you know, so some theories are that they gave people something fun and Halloween-y to engage with at a time last year when, you know, trick-or-treating and partying were kind of canceled by the pandemic. And they were actually considering not launching the product. So they knew this was going to be a big deal, which is interesting. These companies like know too much. It bothers me. Like, I just heard an anecdote about somebody who works at Netflix who was told, like, you know, 5 months ago, they were like, hey, this show Squid Game is going to come out and it's going to be our most popular show ever. So, like, just watch it now so that you know. Like, they knew way before, and it, like, there are no surprises. They just act
really?
Ready. Yeah.
Ugh, I hate being predictable to corporations.
I know, isn't that the worst? Especially
I'm trying
Home
to be
Depot.
Mysterious global, and exciting.
We need a global movement to fuck the algorithms over.
Right.
It's like, do the opposite for 7 months.
Yeah.
And just, you know, figure out what you can, but who knows? Then you're going to get into weird shit on accident.
And then in the more like kind of zeitgeisty realm of things that appeal to me, skull imagery tends to be very popular during pandemics and plagues. You know, there are roots in Latin American culture and feature prominently with the Mexican Day of the Dead, but they crept into European decorative art in the mid-1300s around the Black Death, symbolizing mortality and celebration. And yeah, so people are thinking that maybe that's why skeletons are, as super producer Anna Hosnier would say,
so
having a moam.
You're saying Home Depot created COVID
the pandemic,
in order
yeah.
to sell skeletons?
I'm glad you're picking up. But I'm glad you're
exactly.
able to read between the lines. Thank you.
There's Ali Alexander coming on to explain it even further. This, I mean, is it also the feeling that, like, you know, we are just the big ass skeleton? Like, we all just kind of feel like a 12 foot skeleton?
Man,
like,
I
don't know.
I
like, I look at that and I'm like, mood.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm an oversized skeleton.
You
That's
said
how
that
I feel.
Mood, but then it sounded like serve.
Yeah.
Mood. 12 foot skeleton, mood.
I mean, if you're thinking of it as like, I am 12 feet tall and I'm a skeleton, I'm powerful.
No.
That's not.
No,
but
like,
if you're thinking of it as like, everybody can see me and I'm,
yes.
this is so
I'm dead
embarrassing.
Inside.
And I'm dead
I have
inside.
Nothing. I'm barely being held together.
It's got a
I'm
little,
barely human.
It's right. a little something for everybody.
Yeah. Everyone. And it's like a, just a all seeing eye or funhouse mirror, whatever. You can project whatever you want onto it.
I have noticed that a lot of my friends, their Halloween costume is just skeletons. Like, they're just walking around in and I'm like, now I kind of want those PJs. I'm like, they're simple. You can wear them whenever.
Yeah.
You know?
Those are dope.
That's nice.
I mean,
skeleton
like you said earlier,
suits.
They're having a moment.
I saw a guy jogging in my neighborhood with a skeleton. Like, it was a full-on real running outfit, but it had just had bones printed on it.
Miles, was he chasing a guy dressed as a shower? Because you might have just been witnessing Karate Kid.
I feel like this is also like a Tim Burton aesthetic as well. I feel like he could capitalize on it as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's his whole thing.
Or, you know, it's America too. America is just like a big oversized dead thing in the way.
America. Yeah. I love it. I love all of it.
But we are skeleton, you know.
We are skeleton. I am skeleton. I like shark. Home Depot has said they're going to step their game up next year, which leads some people to be like, yo, so there's just going to be a skeleton that is like a skyscraper just like sitting on houses.
No, they're fully going to steal that guy's idea with the giant hand and the head. They're going
right.
to fully take it and then market it and then pretend like they came up with it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
24 feet. Yeah, I don't know. It's like you actually have to pitch in with your neighborhood to get all the pieces for the 200-foot skeleton.
How are you, like, If I had that, if I had a giant skeleton coming out of my home, I just, no Christmas decorations. This is Christmas. This is going to be the Christmas decoration. This is my house now. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, because that picture, like the big ass arm coming out of the roof, like that, I'm like, this looks like so much work.
It looked bigger than his, it took him 40 days to make it, right? It said, it like, okay, first of all, that sounds 100% like something my friends would make.
Right.
That sounds like a project we would have done in college just for fun.
And it also sounds curious. Like a biblical illusion, like he's trying to compare himself to Noah.
40 days a night.
Yeah. But it's also like, I looked at his garage and I'm like, I don't think that fit in your garage, dude. Where did you keep it?
Right. What if the way they're stepping up the 12-foot skeleton is just adding flesh? So it's just a big naked
dude. So it's just a big person. And then they turn it back into the Peeping Tom somehow.
It's a 12-foot skeleton with an erection.
Peeping Tom.
We're like, yeah. This is how it's
set. This way it can look into your second story window.
It's just a guy at Home Depot who's really trying to get his Peeping Tom idea off the ground. Because but he's like, I'm playing the long game.
Okay, they're good with a 12-foot tall physical form that's human like. Okay, let's turn it up a little bit.
Well, and then we just turn it facing the other way.
Yeah. Okay, we like this idea, Peter. Go on, right? And then I wear some Home Depot stuff branding. Okay, we like it. With a big old erection.
They're like, God damn it, Peter. Stop doing this. You do this every year, Peter.
Okay, a normal erection then. Okay, I swung too hard.
Fine, it'll be average. I mean, that was my three-year-old's question about our skeleton decoration was, where's his penis?
And oh my God.
Where's his butt? Wow. So, you know, that maybe they'll answer that question.
Your kid wasn't like, hey, can you explain mortality to me? Because what is a skeleton? Do we turn into skeletons? Your kid was just like, where's the pee-pee?
Yeah.
Where's the skeleton's pee-pee?
You got off easy on that one.
Let's cut to the chase. Yeah. The five-year-old's starting to ask the big questions. Oh. Yeah. About.
And you're like, let's go to Home Depot. I got some life questions to explain to you.
Whoa, look how big that thing is. Right, guys? No, I was asking about death.
They're like, I can't wait for death. It's huge.
And that's what happens when you die. You turn into a 12-foot skeleton underground.
This is mommy.
Pallavi, it's been such a pleasure, as always, having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm at Pallaviganalan, PallaviGunalan. That's my Instagram, my Twitter, my TikTok, my website, my Clubhouse. I started doing Clubhouse.
Hey,
hell yeah.
Lots of pandemic things happening.
How often are you on Clubhouse?
Well, we had like shows every week for a few months, but like, and then now I do, Lila Mar has her Afternoon Delight show. And so I'll do that in the afternoons because it's fun. You like, do an afternoon show and then you go out and do live shows. And so I get practice. But yeah, that's fun. I don't know if it's like people are going to stay on it after the pandemic, but it definitely was like some people's social circles for a while. Like they were just on it for like, people were on it for like 18 hours straight. I'm just like, I hate people too much to be on this app that much. But I can go on Twitter and argue for hours. So we all have our things.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Okay, I have to show you this. It's a cop out, honestly. So I'm going to send it to you. The Big Issue came out with an interview about Brian Cox from Succession.
Yeah.
And they just had this thread where he was just like insulting all of these actors. He was like,
it's from his book. Yeah.
Yeah. Or his memoir. Yeah. Sorry. But The Big Issue put it out. And it's, he like with Michael Caine, he was like, I wouldn't describe Michael as my favorite, but he's Michael Caine, an institution. And being an institution will always beat having range. And then with Quentin Tarantino, he's like, I find his work meretricious. It's all surface, plot mechanics in place of depth, style where there should be substance. I walked out of Pulp Fiction. That said, if the phone rang, I'd do it. Johnny Depp. Sir. I mean, Edward Scissorhands, let's face it. If you come on with hands that, like that and pale, scarred face makeup, you don't have to do anything. And he didn't. And subsequently, he's done even less. It's so funny because, like, 2 weeks ago or like something, I don't know how long ago, he was just like, actors are nothing. It's all the writers. And he was praising all these like writers like on the show, which we were like, oh, that's so cool. And then now he's just like, fuck actors. Let me list them one by one.
Right, right.
It was so funny.
That's amazing.
So it's not like a viral tweet, but it's one I've just been enjoying. I've just been enjoying him being our anti-hero, but still with a trace of Logan Roy.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Fuck off, David Bowie.
You know? Yeah, he shits on David Bowie. Not a particularly good actor. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, stop by and listen to 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra and I. We talk about 90 Day Fiancé, our favorite show. Some tweets that I like. First one is from at L. Ron Mexico tweeted, and the Democrats wept, for there were no more promises to break.
No.
Another one is from at Brittany Warwick, tweeted, definitely saying, oh, so it's like Kohl's cash next time a man tries to explain crypto to me when I didn't ask.
Yeah. I retweeted that one for sure.
So good.
Oh, wait, there's another one. Have you guys seen the Buzz Lightyear, the new Buzz Lightyear one?
Trailer?
Or yeah, but they had a picture, Culture Crave had a picture of Buzz from 1995 and one from 2022, and he looks really different. And at the Till Show tweeted, new Buzz be turning off his body cam.
That's amazing.
Which was great.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Honest Jabe tweeted, I hope this email finds you in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. Firaga Walk With Me tweeted, you can tell a man is having a mental breakdown when you ask them how it's going and they say, oh, it's going. I just like that.
Oh, shit.
Find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, just, you know, it's getting spooky, and there's nothing spooky or more fun than James Blake, Jid, and Suave together. This track's called Frozen. It's from James Blake's new album, but this track goes, and I don't know, this feels like right for a Halloween Friday. Put this one in your ears. Frozen, James Blake, Jid, Suave.
And it's not the Let It Go. It's not just Let It Go from the movie Frozen.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it isn't. Because then it would be called Let It Go.
Oh, got it. That's I just call it Frozen.
Yeah, right? Like how kids would.
Yeah.
Play Frozen. You mean Let It Go? You guys don't respect the material. I mean, why even play it?
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us on this Friday morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.